This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So what do you think about Dan now? Who's, I want to get your reaction to
this. So you can have all the women, you can have all the fame. He's been pictured with every celebrity, every party.
Allahu Akbar.
You know, I like the Muslims. I mean, I think that they have a pretty peaceful religion. They get a really bad rap in the media.
Jim Carrey said that I wish
that I wished people could realize all their dreams and wealth and fame. And
I think there's a lot of attacks on India recently. I don't know.
Early morning in Mumbai.
The Indian Muslims are not like that.
Cleaning up human excreta from the city streets.
You know, there's idol worship to Trump in India. You can see it.
Welcome to India.
This is the
Okay, his argument was that blue is an attribute of your shirt. Just because his shirt is blue doesn't mean blue is your shirt, something like that.
Right. So there's two problems with that, conceptual problems. The first is, you can come up with any particular theology, but then how do you link that theology back to the to Isa al-Islam, to Jesus? They can't do that. There's no connection between the Trinity, historically, and then taking it back to what Isa al-Islam preached. So there's a breakage there. The second point is, they believe God to be co-equal and co-eternal. So the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, co-equal, co-eternal. So are they saying that the existence of the shirt is co-equal to the color blue? Does that make any sense?
I can't argue in defense of the Trinity because that doesn't make sense to me. So I don't know. But that was his argument.
But it just leaves people in a state of confusion still. You know, it's you get into all these philosophical arguments, but I mean, when you say one is one, that's it. Kul huwa Allahu ahad, that's it. Say God, Allah is one. Done.
I think with us, look, the best way of dealing with these type of arguments is always just being respectful, so it doesn't get into a heated argument.
Yeah.
But looking at the logical structure of it, how does it follow? I always go back to the historical connection. So if someone says, okay, so this is what I believe as a person, right? Okay, this is my sect or whatever. Okay, how do you connect that to what Jesus, peace be upon him, taught? And they can never make that connection. It's always, okay, I'm making this logical argument for whatever, but if you don't show the linkage, then why should we believe it in the first place? Because we can show that Tawheed comes from the Prophet. Can they show that their conception of Trinity goes back to Isa al-Islam historically? It doesn't. Do you remember Dr. Gerald Dirks? You interviewed him.
Yes.
So he was a former Methodist, right? And he was a deacon. And I remember you interviewed him about Christian trajectories, Islamic trajectories in early Christianity, that the early Christian sects actually had beliefs similar to what we believe about Isa al-Islam.
Yes.
About God being one.
Yes.
So how do they explain that logically, that the early Christians believed in Tawheed, not the Trinity?
And then, you know, it's interesting, where we're here, Orhan can tell us even more the deeper history, where you've got the Bosnians here were Unitarian Christians, is that right? The Bogomils linking it back. Did you know that? That here, the history comes that they were also people who only believed in one God. They went away from, you know, many of the teachings of the church. They were considered heretics. But when Islam came, like when it came to you, God is one, you accepted it. You didn't have to run, but you
just logically makes sense. One thing I realized about the online debates is that even though off the debate, you Orthodox will make fun of the Catholic will say Orthodox is heretic, they'll say Unitarians aren't real Christian, they'll say these people are blaspheming all this stuff. When it comes time to debate a Muslim, all united, they just say Christ is King, Christ is King.
Yes.
Right? Even though off the debate they don't even agree with that. Even the Unitarians will say Christ is King. What does that mean?
Exactly.
Why don't you just say Christ is God? Why is that the slogan?
Exactly.
What do you mean King?
And when you pray, why do you pray to the Holy Spirit?
Why
Jesus? Why not the Father? So they and not only that, it's not just them who come together. Everyone, atheists come together, agnostics, Jews, the Zionists, everybody comes against Islam.
Right.
It's one phenomenon that you see in Speaker's Corner. Once I was having a debate and see other brothers having a debate, and I looked at the people I'm debating. There was a Zionist, there was an atheist, there was a Christian, there was a fire worshipper. I don't think in all of you against Islam. I said, you increase my faith here. I mean, it's unbelievable. All of you against Islam? That's weird. Why don't you argue with each other?
And they talk about differences of opinion when they can't agree on the fundamental concept of God.
Doctrine, exactly.
But when you've got, regardless of the sects in Islam,
yeah,
all of them believe in one God.
Allah. They believe in the Prophet. They believe in the Quran. ijma, like, you get it?
Even in prayer as well, yeah. There's five prayers, yeah. You have to give obligatory charity, hajj, yeah. Pilgrimage, yeah. Respect of parents, like the fundamentals, mm-hmm. Everyone agrees on.
I just want to see an atheist argue against a Jew. I've never seen that. The strongest atheists will never ever criticize. In fact, they have a lot in common with the Jew, but they're always attacking Islam. Why is that?
Because they believe, this is what we were speaking about in the car, that Islam wields political power as well and influence. But the thing with Christianity, other religions is, it's easy. Like Christianity doesn't, it's like we were discussing a controlled opponent. That you can, you know, speak to the vicars, speak to the popes, get them to kind of change their views and stuff like that. It's more difficult with Islam because our traditions are so well preserved. Even if, for example, we're discussing a surah here, a chapter of the Quran, if he recites it and makes a mistake in it, five of us will be like, that's wrong. Why? Because the Quran is mass memorized. The language is accessible. We have manuscripts dating to the time of preservation or even at the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Even the chains of narration of the Prophet's sayings, they're so meticulously preserved and presented. This is something absolutely unique to Islam.
It's the truth. It's simple, it's the truth. And anything that is the truth, it's going to be hated. That's one of the things that's been said in history. Yani. That's what it is, bro.
You have now even more and more Americans. I think the last poll, I think it was Pew Research, I'm not sure. It was 50% of Christians don't believe Jesus is God. 30% of evangelicals don't believe that.
Can you imagine they did a poll and they realized 50% of Muslims do not believe Allah is one? What are you talking about, bro? Can you imagine? I think it was greater than that. I don't think it was 50%. I think it was in the like 70-80%. I can remember this study. What do you mean, bro? Can you imagine the main doctrine, and you've got layman coming and saying, no, I don't believe Jesus is God. You don't believe Jesus is God. Man, that is so deep. And this is what the issue with Christianity is. They hate the fact that the Trinity. This is one of the early church fathers. They were a Unitarian guy. You know what he said to them, the Trinitarians? He said, how much longer are the Mohammedans going to mock us for this belief? He was basically saying, you idiots, stop saying God is three in one. They are laughing at us on this matter. So that's what they cannot fathom. And people like David Wood and them, I don't believe they're Christian. I believe they're atheists. I don't believe they are. And they are so hateful because Islam has debunked the Trinity with a respectful way. Look, we're not here to insult. You don't see us ripping the Bible, attacking churches. We're just respectfully saying the Trinity doesn't make sense. Worship God alone. Allah says in the Quran, let's come to common terms between us and you. We worship God alone. That's all we're asking you. I'm not here to fight you. I'm not here to have a go at you. I'm just saying, can we worship God alone? And because they don't like the fact that it makes sense, and so many Christians come to Islam, because if you notice one of the hate Christian, these polemics who are absolutely like Islamophobes, they are angry that we say Jesus is a Muslim. Why do you have a problem with that? You know why? Because Christians know when they leave Christianity, they don't leave Jesus. They come and find the real Jesus. That's why they had the attack at Sheikh Uthman's table. Why do you lie and say Jesus is a Muslim? He was not a Muslim. They were repeating this over and again in Speaker's Corner. Jesus is not a Muslim. Jesus is not a Muslim. Why does it bother you? We're saying Jesus is a Muslim. Why does it bother you? Because they realize there's millions of people coming to Islam. And what's one of the main reasons from Christianity? Because they don't get rid of, they don't leave Jesus. Jesus is a big part for them in their life. And they find the real Jesus. And that's what's happening.
I mean, it happened to me when I was Catholic. I grew up Catholic. I never prayed to Jesus. Okay. When I go at night, I put my hands on the bed and stuff like this. I pray to God because that's what Jesus did. And I had a conversation with my Christian friend yesterday. It's like, if you want to follow Jesus, you believe in Jesus. Why don't you do as Jesus did? Jesus prayed to the Father. Why don't you skip the middleman?
There you go. Why don't you skip the middleman?
No, right? No one needs to teach you that. That's called the fitrah. If there was no religion, bro, and somebody came and said to you, there's a middle guy. Nah, I'll go directly to the source. That's what you call the fitrah. That's why we believe everyone's born a Muslim. The fitrah is to acknowledge that. You can go, have you seen that video of that little kid, little girl? She goes, oh, I thought Jesus was God. Have you seen it? A little 3-4-year-old girl.
Yeah, I saw that video.
You know what that means? Children are innocent, right? Mm. Children are innocent. When children say certain things, yeah, okay, they're innocent. And when you see that child saying, hold on a second, I thought Jesus was God. That's the fitrah kicking and saying, this doesn't bloody make sense. I'm a 3-year-old child. It doesn't make sense to me. And that's what the issue is, bro. Because Islam calls it that, it's one of the most hated religions.
Go back to what you were saying. This is something that is really powerful. It's very simple. It's logical. It doesn't take a a lot of degrees to figure out. So skip the middleman. Elaborate on that.
Well, I mean, when you do business, you want to cut out the middleman as much as possible. You want to go to the source.
Wholesale.
Right now, we're gonna slaughter some sheep or slaughter some cows. Cutting out there's no McDonald's, there's no one like delivering it because it gets corrupted. Or when you have better Wi-Fi, you want to just plug it in Ethernet cable and go directly to the source. That's what Islam is. There's no bad connection. Directly to the source, just you and God.
What has some of the pushbacks been now recently, or just you've been a Muslim now for what, about a year?
A year and a half.
What are some of the top arguments that people throw at you without even really looking at Islam, without even contemplating and, you know, the simple beauty, so many beautiful things about Islam, and this concept we're talking about God being one, absolute one, pure monotheism. Before that, what are some of the things that you just getting fed up with, just right away?
Criticisms of me reverting?
The attacks on Islam.
On Islam? None of them are valid. Like, they say it's a terrorist religion. It's just debunked immediately. If you take 2 seconds to... And if Islam is a terrorist religion, then why is the United States not a terrorist country? Right? They just label it differently. If they're brown, they call it a terrorist. If they're white, they say it's, you know, manifest destiny.
Do you know what I found out here in Bosnia when the war was happening? Did you know the Serbs destroyed over 416 mosques? 614 mosques. And comparison to that, the Bosnians were protecting churches. Yeah? So now the idea is this: if we have this hostility against the Christians, then why did we not do the same thing? 614 compared to, there was a couple of cases of a few idiots. What kind of comparison? I thought we as Muslims are taught to hate and attack the Christians. How is it that the Bosnian army is protecting churches, places of worship, vice versa?
Doesn't it say in the Quran not to destroy a house of worship?
Exactly.
Not only that, is there was treaties for the Prophet, peace be upon him, Ahlul Kitab, the Christians and Jews, that their crosses, their churches, their synagogues will be protected. So I thought, what happened to us? It's a big fat lie.
Here's one thing I find boggling. Look, is that, you know, in the Bible, you have, I'm sure you know this by now, is that it references Jesus, peace be upon him, who we love, as a prophet. Just Google it. People can Google it. Jesus, how many times does he mention as a prophet in there? He's mentioned as a servant. All there.
He's mentioned more than Muhammad, peace be upon him, in the Quran, correct?
Yes. By different ways, but...
Yeah,
you can say that. Yeah.
So why do you think Christians get upset when we have so much in common? We're just calling Jesus by what he's even called in the Bible. Now there's some implicit verses, not explicit verses. Now that they use, you know these like "I and the Father are one." Before Abraham was, "I am." Right? Very ambiguous verses, right? But there's clear verses that he's,
they get angry because it's the truth, and they have their ego attached to it because they have their identity is so intrinsically tied, and they don't want to admit that they were wrong. That's why. That's the only reason they get angry about it. So I was lucky because I grew up Catholic. I never had a strong attachment to Catholicism, so it was easy for me to make the change.
They don't worship. You know, if you think about it, they don't actually worship Jesus. They worship themselves. Because Allah says, "Have you seen the one who takes his nafs as his own God?" Which means that you know that Christianity doesn't make sense, but because you don't want to let go of it, which means it's not even about Jesus, it's about yourself. You're worshiping yourself.
There's a lot of Christians that I respect and I'm friends with, and I know that they resonate with Islam, but they just, there are public persona is so intrinsically tied to it that they can't let it go, or else everything would change. Even though, like, in time it would come back to normal, they don't even want to learn about Islam because they don't want it. They almost don't want to know the truth because their public identity is attached to Christianity.
I interviewed once Owen Benjamin a few times, and we were talking.
He's close.
Yeah, and you know he used to be the scriptwriter for your boy Tommy Robinson, right?
He was a scriptwriter for.
Or he wrote a song. He was scriptwriter for what's the Louder for Crowder guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he wrote a theme song for his boy Tommy Robinson.
Shout out to my boy Tel Aviv Tommy. He's come back.
So my point, what I want to say is now, from here, what happened was Owen was like, man, he was somebody who was also good friends with Joe Rogan, etc. You know how the story goes.
Yeah, so he's a friend of mine.
Yeah, you know him also. Yeah. Okay, so Owen Benjamin, he was like, man, I was programmed to hate Muslims, you know, for so long. And he was like Islamophobe. Then he was like, he went through the deep, you know, through all of the programming. And he said, man, Muslims, when they say Jesus, they say something real simple as peace be upon him. Right? These other guys are saying he's burnt. We don't have to mention no names, but he said they say he's burning in hell, right? In the feces. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
They spit on him.
Yeah, right? So then he was like, boom, he had an aha moment. And then when the bears, you know the bears? Owen has the bears. Those are his, like, his people that follow him.
Big bear, yeah.
Here's a bear right here. Owen, we got your boy Orhan here.
Yeah, you.
So here's my what I'm saying is, here's what I asked you. So at the end, when we did this program, the Christians who are watching us, they also were like, man, we were talking about goats. You know, he lives on a farm, Owen. We were just talking about basic stuff, communicating, and they were like, I cannot believe for all these years I was led to believe Muslims are terrorists, Muslims are this, that, and the other, because they know, okay, with all the other things that the media are telling is fake news. When it comes to Muslims, I'm going to swallow it whole, right? So this conversation that we have was just so good at breaking through a lot of those barriers. Have you seen that happening now? The more you're talking to a lot of your friends and whatnot, when they're seeing, really, when they give Islam a shot, they look past the programming and they see the beauty of Islam, that, you know, so many things open for them.
Yeah, and where I'm at now is like, I just have to be the best representative that I can be, because the non-Muslim, they don't read Quran, they don't read Hadith, but they're going to read the Muslim. So I think that's the best da'wah you can give.
And you know, that's one thing we was talking behind you, by the way, Sneeko, but not backbiting. Sabor and us, we was thinking, one thing that we love about you is that you have that zeal, that izzah for the, izzah means like,
respect.
That not respect, that protective.
Protective jealousy.
For the religion, because the fact that you're even talking about how people are going to judge it for you, and we see how seriously you take the religion, because the Prophet ﷺ said, I came for nothing but to perfect good character. And we know the Prophet ﷺ also said, two things that's going to be heavy on the day of judgment on the scales is Tawheed, which is one's God, and one's good manners. Good etiquette and good manners is something that the Quraysh, the pagan Arabs, didn't have. Because what would they associate to Allah? They'll say, Allah's daughters, angels are daughters. They were going to associate partners to Allah. Having good manners starts with Allah. Meaning that when one leaves shirk, you have improved your manners and etiquette with Allah by saying, I de-associate anything, any kind of partners, except you.
Yeah.
You're fixing your manners with God Almighty when you leave shirk. And then the second phase, the scholars say, is the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. How do you fix your manners with the Prophet ﷺ? When his name is mentioned, you say it. And then after that, for example, trying to obey his sunnah. Then after that, the third form of manners is the people at large, the people around you. And the fourth one is having good manners with yourself. So when it comes to committing certain sins, you say, oh, I shouldn't be doing this, you know? It doesn't, so manners are in four stages. Sometimes when we talk about manners, it's like, oh, table manners or this manners, but it starts from top to bottom. And it's nice to know that you genuinely have that care for the deen, where you're like, okay, how I represent myself. You know, even stuff we mentioned about Fuzi Trip, you know, you're like, it concerned you. The fact that it concerned you, it shows you have faith. You know, there was a man who came, I think he came to one of the companions, and he said, I think I'm a hypocrite, a munafiq. Not a hypocrite, a munafiq is somebody who pretends to be a Muslim. He said, the fact that you think you're a munafiq shows that you're not a munafiq. Because a hypocrite doesn't care if he's a hypocrite or not. But the fact that you have the concern shows you have faith in your heart.
I want to get your reaction to
Dan was here and saying Allahu Akbar, because this is Zionist saying the most anti-Semitic thing you could say.
You know Dan?
Is Allahu Akbar. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So what do you think, for the people out there, I mean, that's kind of like hallelujah, right? God is the greatest. God is greater, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think about Dan now, who's, you know, coming around and he's being somebody who's being a strong voice for what's happening in Gaza?
I just think it's the perfect example that, you know, the lifestyle of dunya, it never is going to satisfy you. So you can have all the women, you can have all the fame. He's been pictured with every celebrity, every party, big alcohol brands, gambling, flashy money. He's like a perfect representation of money, fame, American
lifestyle.
Modern-day
Hugh Hefner.
Exactly. And then that doesn't satisfy the soul. And so even then, the simplicity of Islam is still reaching out to him, because there's no amount that's going to ever satisfy that need. You're always going to want more women, more money, more this, if you worship that. And so now he's looking for something to serve his higher purpose. And he doesn't care. He's like, if I lose everything, if they want to disassociate with my business because I'm not a Zionist and whatever, what do I need more money for? What do I need more fame for? I'm just going to say the truth unequivocally.
Allahu Akbar.
I like the Muslims. I mean, I think they have a pretty peaceful religion. They get a really bad rap in the media. But I've met a lot of Muslims, and they're, you know, pretty morally sound for the most part.
So you would consider being a Muslim?
I don't know enough about their religion. I think I'm going to probably read the Quran.
Just on that point, you spoke about the dunya not being enough. Do you think that's part of your journey to Islam as well?
100%. Yeah, I see it similar. And again, like the way you were talking about idol worship, I think there's a lot of attacks on India recently. I don't know.
Early morning in Mumbai. Cleaning up human excreta from the city streets.
Shit.
There's shit everywhere in the middle of the street. Okay? How India is like when it's quiet. And I'm in a pretty good area. There is shit all over the streets.
I don't know if you've seen people are making fun of Indians. I think it's good to specify that the Indian Muslims are not like that. Like, they're not going to be in the streets, you know, going to the bathroom. They're not going to be smelling improper because you're supposed to bathe five times a day. You're supposed to wash up before you pray. You're supposed to show manners, and you're not supposed to be staring, lower your gaze and wear all this stuff. Hinduism, when they worship 33 million gods, and when they, there's idol worship to Trump in India, you can see it.
Welcome to India.
Devun laga poojinchukuntunanu.
They will pray to anything. That's the quickest way to become disgusting. So I wouldn't blame, you know, people criticizing India on the Indian people itself as an ethnicity. I would just say this is a problem with paganism, with idol worship.
Similar to Dan, right, about things not being enough. Why do you think some people don't take the trajectory you do and they carry on for decades just trying to pursue that hedonistic lifestyle?
Because you can distract yourself if you want to. But if you're a truth seeker, you're going to look for something more. And I think Dan has always been a truth seeker, looking for what's next. But if you want to, you can numb your brain with the food and with the media, with distraction, with celebrity worship. You could turn it off as much as you want to. But eventually, like, you're going to become angry. And some people don't know why they're having that reaction, but it's because they're searching for something higher.
That reminds me of your documentary about your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It's a similar thing. You tried everything. I don't know, have you seen his documentary about his life?
No.
Yeah, kind of. I saw it.
You must have seen it. It's very, very famous.
A time ago. How long was it? It's been a long time ago. Yeah, yeah.
10 years.
It's like that. It's a big factor. Like Dan Bazarian?
Bazarian.
Yeah. Same with this. You know when you live it? We've lived it. We've seen it. That's why when I came to Islam, I fully divorced the dunya. Like, I fully... Why? Because you know when someone tells you, this is happiness, and you're like, yeah? Okay. And you chase it. Okay, I would chase it. I would live it. I saw it. I knew people who were rich, who had the most beautiful woman in front of me crying, depressed. I looked at them and I'm thinking, I don't understand. I want to be like you. And you're here depressed on the verge of killing yourself. It didn't make sense to me. So then you start waking up. And then I had obviously close people who commit suicide. My cousin hanged themselves. My cousin, we had a big suicide rate in our community. Why? Because all they've been taught is money, 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 money. What you own, what you wear, what you drive. And my cousin, his friend killed himself, my neighbor killed himself. And then when you just look into it and think to yourself, SubhanAllah, like, is this the life? And then you go around people. I know how I was. I was around certain people and I wanted to be a certain way. And one thing I don't like is to be fake, to be something you're not.
Mm.
And for me to put that persona on, you feel sick. You're like, why am I trying to pretend something I'm not? And you look around you, everybody is like that. Everyone is pretending, faking, laughing, smiling. You're in the club, dancing. When the music goes off, everyone's outside. Most of them crying on the floor, depressed, drunk. And once you realize and live that, when you see that for yourself, Aki, this is why, you know, I call, like, obviously we're reverts. I call Muslims who go off the path diverts. Yeah? There's reverts and there's diverts. They divert off path and they come back. But why? Because they want to live. And we're like, listen, brother, we've been there. We've been there. Trust me. So to me, when I came to Islam, I went, like you said, you know, you just test it with your one feet. I'd done a dive. Why? Because I was so sick of the money and the fame. And this. I'll be honest with you, even now, when I'm around people who talk about money too much, I genuinely have this ick in my, like, I just, when it's all about, oh yeah, I'm like, it's fine. And as Muslims, it's good. But I'm talking about those who talk about materialism too much. I get sick, bro. Like, I've been so immersed in it that you're just sick. And once you leave that, I can remember when I came and joined, like, Aera, wallahi, I was so content and happy. Do you know what I wanted from life? I don't care where I work, 9 to 5, I do not care. As long as I can do dawah on the weekends, I'm happy, bro. It's just, and my dad will come and call me, like, he's like, oh, you're gonna become a caveman now. You know, you're gonna go and... And later on, obviously, I understood the power of giving dawah in different ways. Because my dad's a businessman, do you get it? So now if I have any savings here and there, I do try to invest. So my dad's like, hold on a second, this guy, I thought he's just gonna go in the mosque and sleep in the mosque. But now I do my dawah to him in different ways. So. Yeah, like, alhamdulillah, wallahi, I'll be honest with you. Once you find that contentment, like Ibn Taymiyyah said, if you don't find the Jannah here in your heart, you will not get into the Jannah over there. Wow. Once you have peace in this dunya, Aki, wallahi, nothing, they can take everything from you, bro. Like, genuinely, when you have Allah, when you, and I hope I reach that, it's far away. I hope I come to a point where if everything was taken away from me and Allah is enough, bro, there's nothing in this life that could ever replace it. And that's why you see reverts who are so holding tight to that. You look at reverts, you know, why are these guys so, like, you know, when they come so obsessed? Okay, we saw the dark. We was in a dark room. there was a little light given to us, and we thought, wow, what is that? And then the light grew. We're like, alhamdulillah, brother, we've been in a dark room for, do you get it? But there are people making that dark room look good, and they want to go, we don't, we're like, brother, we've been in that room, you know? And coming from darkness, from the heart, you know, that's what Allah says. It's not the eyes that are blind, it's the heart, you know? And in Surah Abbas, it's very interesting because the Prophet ﷺ, he's giving da'wah to the Quraysh, yeah? And then a blind man comes. Isn't it interesting? The Quraysh heart's blind, but the blind man who's coming to seek guidance, his eyes are blind. Look, he's giving da'wah to the Quraysh whose heart's blind. They can see, and they don't accept it. And Allah's saying to the Prophet ﷺ, no matter how much you try, and there's not blameworthy on you. You're tiring yourself. But the blind man who is blind physically, his heart is open. He said, if you just attended to him. And that teaches me in the da'wah, which I implement now. If I speak to someone, bro, and he's not listening to my, like, I'm giving him simple logic, like, bro, don't waste my time. I go, thank you, bye-bye. Why am I going to waste my time with you, bro, for hours? There's so many people who are... There was one sister, she goes, I came to Islam because of Abdurrahim Green talking about istinja. Do you know what istinja is? Yeah, she goes, I found it profound. Like, small things like that. You know what that shows? There are people out there that are looking for guidance, bro. Something so small, they would use it. And even me, if you remember when I came to Islam, one of the reasons was the scientific miracles.
Yeah.
And when the scientific miracles kind of, you know, that we changed our method in, I was taken a bit back. I was like, what? But you know what's interesting? Allah sometimes brings people to Islam for the wrong reasons and they stay for the right reasons.
Bro, Ali, you know what you just said? Why that's so profound is when Aira came up with that narrative that, okay, we're not using scientific miracles, you're the first da'i outside of the organization to publicly say, this I agree with. Even though you came to Islam through it, do you remember in Queen Mary we had the lecture and publicly said, I agree with this.
Yes.
And we were getting criticized.
Exactly.
Do you remember?
Yes. Yeah.
But just on your point about this life not being enough, Zishan, I was thinking about, you know, you've interviewed some of these drill rappers. That guy with the mask, what's his name?
I didn't interview him. I interviewed one guy called Friends of the Bastard.
That's So do you feel that what he's saying, what Sneeko's saying about this life not being enough, like even though these guys have everything, yeah? Friends of Harami? These guys. Do you think they're along the same trajectory that they like Sneeko, like Eddie, they've got everything but they know it's not enough?
There's a saying of Jim Carrey, isn't it? Jim Carrey said that I wished
people could realize all their dreams and wealth and fame, and so that they could see that it's not where you're going to find your sense of completion.
People had all the wealth and all of the material things to realize that this is not where happiness lies. And sometimes it's because we don't have that thing and we're constantly plastered with that, it's made to seem like the objective. But like one of the end episodes of Only Fools and Horses, which is the top British sitcom, and the whole seasons are to do with them trying to become rich, and then right at the end he becomes rich and they're in that apartment, and at that apartment the camera zooms in and he goes, yeah, I've finally reached it, but what now?
Yeah.
And that's why you've got the likes of Tyson Fury, Andre Agassi, and there's a few others as well. I think Israel Adesanya as well. All of them became depressed when they won the title. Because they made that the objective and the goal, then when they reached it, it was like, okay, now what? I've reached my goal.
Because the goal is not eternal. On that note, guys, we're going to go horse riding.
I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And if you like this episode of The Dean Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.